Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this meeting of the Planning Committee. Welcome to members of the public also. We haven't got a fire alarm this evening, so if it does go off, can you please leave by the door to my right or to the rear doors and meet in the top car park. Drinking water and facilities are in the foyer. Agenda item 2, do we have any apologies for absence?
Apologies have been received from Councillor Frank. There are no substitutes.
Thank you. Do any members have any declarations of interest? Councillor Cleary.
I've been lobbied on the site at Pickering, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I too have been lobbied on the planning application site at Pickering by the developers, but I also need to declare that I am a member of North Yorkshire County Councillor, and it's been mentioned as the extra care facility in the documents. Personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jean-Yudin.
I've also been approached by the builders at Pickering, at the Pickering Development, non-personal, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Yes, I too have been lobbied by the developer, the same as, but I'm not a county councillor.
Councillor Mrs Shields, are you the ditto? Councillor Burr.
Well, I'm disappointed because I haven't been lobbied. I know, that's right. But I have a site with a valid planning permission in Norton.
Thank you. I'd also like to declare a personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interest in item 4, as I've been lobbied on the Pickering site, and I'm also a member of Slingsby South Home and Frighton Parish Council. Right, we're going to move on now to agenda item 4, the Rydale plan. If you just bear with me, what I'd like to do is just go through how I'd like to run this, if that's possible. I'm going to take the vote on block at the end, if that's okay with everybody. Next, I'm going to invite Jill to do a brief officer introduction. Then I will invite questions to officers from non-members of the committee first, and then from members of the committee. I will then move to invite non-members of the committee to make any further representations that they'd like to make, and then I will move to debate just with the members of the committee, moving towards the final voting, if that's okay. Lovely. Thank you. So, Jill, over to you, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I know that members are aware that the sites document and the policies map are key policy documents for this council, key planning policy documents. And they have been prepared to, in effect, complete the development plan for Rydale. The sites document itself, as you're aware, covers site-specific development policies and some protection policies, and it's very much designed to align with the strategic policies in the local plan strategy and to deliver the development commitments in that document. It's not about revisiting any of the sort of strategic policies or commitments that we already have in the first part of the development plan, the local plan strategy. The policies map is, in effect, the new proposals map. So that's been compiled to cover the site-specific policies that we're proposing in the sites document, but also to bring through any larger strategic policies that are already covered in the local plan strategy. So it effectively updates what we all know and love as the old Rydale local plan proposals map and all of the inset maps. Madam Chairman, I'm not going to go on at length really about all of the work that has been undertaken to inform these documents. I think it probably covers about a 10-year period since we first did a call for sites. It's covered a number of major consultations and clearly it's involved a lot of evidence, technical evidence gathering, site appraisals, and working and talking to developers and landowners. I feel confident that members have a good understanding of the sites that have been put forward by landowners, of the level of development that we have to plan for, and how the sites that we've been looking at perform through our own sort of site selection methodology. So I hope that you do really understand how all of that information comes together and how it's informed the choices and the proposals that we're putting forward. So I feel confident that we've reached a point where we can now make recommendations to you and that we can explain and defend those choices at the examination. I mean, if these documents are agreed tonight, it's not really the end of the process. If anything, it's the start of the formal process. We would have to formally publish the documents for consultation, and the representations we get then are submitted to government for an examination. So very, very similar process to the process that the local plan strategy went through. The recommendations on the report cover two broad areas, really. Some are about agreeing the main policy documents, and the others are recommendations that are more procedural, that are designed to help us as officers support the documents through the formal processes and through the examination. We've also appended some summaries of the last site's consultation to the document, just for your information. I mean, a lot of this information has been fed to you through briefings and things. And next meeting of Planning Committee, we will ask members to agree our formal response to those before we publish all the information. Unfortunately, one representation has been missed from this document, this appendix. It's the very last one. It is as the document was put into PDF format and printed. And I know that has caused the agent of the landowner some concern. So if you don't mind, Chairman, I would just like to read out the summary that goes into that. It involves a site next to a site that we are proposing to allocate at Kirby Moorside, so the site to the south of Swineherd Lane. It's the next field to the east. It's site reference number 666. It's actually the last site that's ever been put forward to us. It was put forward after the 2015 consultation. So just very briefly, a summary of the representation. That the landowner believes there should be support for the identification of 666 as an allocation for circa 40 dwellings. The site is adjacent to a local service centre. The site is adjacent to site 156, that's the site that we're proposing to allocate, which is identified as an option choice. A concept master plan is submitted demonstrating permeability into site 156. Two pairs of bungalows are proposed to the rear of existing housing for amenity considerations. Existing trees and hedges will be retained. The site provides a good mix of housing, including bungalows, smaller 1, 2 and 3 bedroom housing, and some larger 4 and 5 bedroom family dwellings. The site has been subjected to a site assessment. This is a site assessment that's been undertaken by the agent, which identifies the site should be accorded a Group 3 status. The agent has confirmed that the landowner is committed to delivering a plan-compliant level of affordable housing and community infrastructure levy contributions. The site demonstrates good accessibility to services and facilities. It's compatible with adjacent residential and recreational land uses. And the considerate if 156 is excluded from the VIA designation, then this site could be reasonably undertaken. And this also is relevant to the site being currently in an area of high landscape value. The loss of the strip field can be mitigated with landscaping, and access can be achieved from Swineherd Lane, but also potentially through site 156. Accordingly, the site is suitable, as evidenced by representations. The site is available for development without constraint or impediment, and in terms of achievability, the site can be delivered on the site. Development can be delivered on the site within 5 years. The site can be demonstrated as being deliverable. The agent then goes on to critique the other site options that were put forward in 2015 at Kirby Moorside on deliverability and connectivity issues. And that is effectively it. Chairman, the site has been through our site assessment process. I think members know how much or how low the residual requirements are in terms of this, making land allocations. And I think really just on this occasion, whereas we are prepared to recommend that site 156, which immediately abuts the built-up area, is taken forward, I think given how much we've got left to plan for and the fact that this site would result in further incursions to the area of high landscape value, the VIUE and the strip field systems, which our SA, our sustainability appraisal, is trying to reduce the impact on, then it, we're not proposing it. But just to make it clear that that is another site that has been put forward and it's in all of our paperwork. Chairman, this is a Part B report and the recommendations to Council. They are as outlined in the report. I do have one correction to make, and that relates to the proposals map. I think every time I've looked at this map since it's off the press, I sort of think about it. The policies map, as Gary's corrected me, I think about it. And it involves sites that we have included on the map, sites that have existing planning permissions. And there is that annotation is missing from one of the sites that has a planning permission, and that's the ATS site in Norton. So that needs to be factually corrected. That site isn't actually included in terms of the numbers and the residual requirement because the current scheme is not viable, but it is a site that is a commitment for residential purposes. So, Chairman, I'd just like to reiterate with that exception that clarification to be made to the map, the recommendations are as outlined in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Keel and Councillor Roper, you came in just after my presentation. You're more than welcome to come and sit if you had any questions of officers. You're more than welcome to grab your microphone and come and sit at the table. Okay, thank you. Do any non-planning committee members have any questions to officers? Councillor Thornton. Can you put your microphone on, please? Thank you.
Sorry. There are two broad areas that I'd like to just raise. And the first, you'd be very disappointed if I didn't raise, and that is the provision of any renewable energy sources in the housing. On pages 23 to 28, that's the big numbers, 23 to 28, in the development principles, it talks about the capability for electric vehicle charging through the provision of a 13-amp electric socket. Can I be reassured that that is for every house, or is that proposal for just 9 sockets for the 9 sites that we're looking at?
It is the intention. It's for every house, and I will clarify that in the document, if you think that would help.
Thank you very much. And further on that issue, if we're able to put in our detailed proposals for an electric power socket for electric vehicles, how is it going to be provisioned that we put solar panels on every roof during the development of these areas?
The document doesn't go as far as that. We would rely on the core strategy policy to try and negotiate any renewable energy kit, in effect. The reason why we included the 13-amp socket was that we didn't feel that there was anything in particular in the core strategy itself that we could hang that on, which is why we've included it within this document. I think we would struggle to include solar panels as a requirement in this document, because I think it would be it has the potential to sort of stretch the work we've done around viability and design.
Thank you. You'd have been disappointed if I hadn't raised that. But, of course, I'm not satisfied with that. The other area that concerns me a lot is the ability of developers to actually finish a development. And we've seen in Pickering, the development on the site off Whitby Road, the failure to deliver the community park adequately. And I see that the in the Pickering Council papers, the same developer is now proposing to develop east and west of Whitby Road. So the same developer is now going to return to Pickering to do two major developments, shared developments, and he's not finished off the one that he promised would provide a community park for the community. And this was further backed up by my experience in canvassing in Norton, where I found there were tremendous complaints from the community about building developments that had not been finished off, whether it's roads or pavements. And we're not talking for 6 weeks or 6 months. We're talking for 6 years, or even in one case, 10 years, that the development had not been finished. And I'd like to know how we can ensure that developments are actually meeting their commitments on the conditions. And I have particular reference to the development at in Norton, where the whole development seems to be hanging on the fact that they're going to deliver a road to relieve the traffic through the middle of Norton and Malton. Now, if they work on the same principle as this developer in Pickering, whose name I'm not mentioning, we could be 10 years before we have that relief road. And that's completely unacceptable, because all the construction traffic, for a start, will have to come through Norton and Malton. And can I suggest that you look into these issues very carefully as to how you're going to make sure that in future we're not going to disappoint the community and the council by failing to have companies observe the conditions, and how we can ensure that they put in that relief road before they start building houses, because all those vehicles will have to come through Norton and Malton. Whereas with that relief road, a proportion may be able to avoid that. Thank you.
Chairman, I think some very detailed questions there in terms of completions of developments and compliance with planning conditions. And the simple answer to that is, well, if somebody hasn't complied with an enforceable planning condition, then we would take a complaint forward through the normal enforcement process. But I think the I can only think of one example in the district where a completion of a road has been a particular issue in a particular village, and that was because through a Section 38 process, the bonds weren't put in place in a particular order by our highway authority who worked with us on that occasion, and we're having to go through an enforcement process to enforce the planning condition. Happens to be against an offshore company, which is particularly difficult, but there is an enforcement process to go through. And if there are breach planning conditions in respect of the park at Pickering, for example, and I know particularly the developer that you're dealing with, which I also shan't mention tonight, then my understanding is that some of the issues there are relating to the transfer of the land with the town council that are still not transferred. So I'm not quite sure what the issue is that were there. I'll take that up outside of this meeting. But in terms of the big development at Norton that you've mentioned tonight and the reference to a link road, then I think that the requirement of the phasing of that is very much a matter for this plan to refer to in the that you've got references here in terms to the site criteria, but also in terms of how we'd like to see sites come forward and be developed, but also through the planning application process. And so if, for example, that site has a trigger at which point the link road has to be provided before anything on the site, or because of construction traffic, or after 20 houses, whatever that trigger point is, it would phase through the development and the planning permission would pick that up. And at that point, if you've got a trigger point in like a phasing condition in a planning permission, and that's not adhered to, for example, then we would take enforcement action and potentially issue a stop notice. That's how we'd stop it. I mean, planning is a fairly blunt instrument, but that's how we would go about that resolving that problem. I mean, we try not to get to situations where we have those sorts of problems.
Thank you, Chair. I was just raising those issues so that we can ensure that we have actually got those strategies in place and are enforced, because to date they seem to have disappointed our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman, I think just to come back on that point, the issue of the big site at Norton is the one I would call it, SD, whichever it is. You know, we have had extensive discussions about viability matters, all sorts of things there, but one of the things writ large in all of those discussions with officers has been the matter of the link road. In other words, don't come with the site without the link road. And that, I think, is possibly been why, you know, we've not even been dealing with an application by now, but we've now got to a situation where that site is considered by officers to be deliverable, the agreements with other parties is in place, it's demonstrated all those sorts of things. So we're not recommending to you a red line on a plan which then in 2 years' time we still haven't got it ready to come. It's all about deliverability.
Councillor Keogh.
Thank you for allowing me to speak as not a member of the committee. But I just wanted to respond to what Councillor Thornton said. Norton Town Council have also met with the developers for the site on Beverley Road and stressed very clearly that link road is absolutely essential to the development, and that should be seen as very much of a priority in the plans that they're making. And I think what Gary said is true. That has perhaps delayed them actually bringing planning to this council, but they are very aware of that, as they are also aware of the need to look at the drainage issues in the area. So I just wanted to raise that as ward member for one of the ward members for Norton. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Thorne, do you have any more questions for officers?
No, thank you very much. Okay.
Right, so we'll move on to questions to officers from members of the Planning Committee. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to pick up on the item that Councillor Thornton alluded to, and that was the provision of highways into what is essentially become new housing estates. And certainly when I was campaigning in Hovingham, it was an issue for the residents there, and I know there was an error between us and highways. But what I would really like to see, and I don't know whether this is the right place to hang this hat, is that we actually get the roads put in before they start building, and then we're sure that the provision is there properly, rather than letting them get on with it and only getting half a job done.
I think the dilemma there is that the roads are put into an engineered specification, usually quite early doors, but what's missed off because of the continued activity of heavy traffic is the finished inch and a half of nice tarmac. And you can understand that, because clearly if you put it in at the start, then you'd end up having to redo it before you'd finish the development. So I think that's the dilemma. Usually that's covered by a bond, you know, in case anything goes untowards and it isn't finished or whatever. And somewhere along the line that didn't happen. It's a one-off, as far as I'm aware, that it hasn't happened on any other sites in our district.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, first of all, before I ask my question, I would just like to say a huge, huge thanks, Jill, for all the work and effort that you have put in. We've all hounded you, possibly me the most. When is it coming? When is it coming? We're desperate, we're desperate, we're desperate. You've been under tremendous pressure. I know you've had meetings with individual groups to make sure that it's seamless. And I just think from everybody, I would like to personally and publicly thank you for all the work that you have done. I think, really, you need a medal. However, my question is, do you honestly feel that this is robust enough, because we're dealing with developers and we all know what developers are like, that when it goes and it's challenged, that it's really strong and that you feel confident to recommend it to us? Now, I'm not trying to belittle you and say that you wouldn't. I'm sure you would. But we know, sat around this table, we know that we're going to be challenged, don't we? Because there's a lot of disappointed builders out there, and they will be very upset. So I just really wanted you to explain how we're going to tackle this. Thank you.
I think we've, as I alluded to in the introduction, really, certainly wouldn't be bringing anything to members if we didn't feel we had the information to back it up and the evidence to back it up. At the end of the day, what we've said all along, we've had sites put forward since from the last 10 years, really. I think the last site that as I refer to, has a number 666. So we've had over 600 sites put forward as part of this process. We've made it very, very clear all along, I think, at various consultations, that we are simply not going to need that amount of sites. We've done a lot of work. Members are familiar with our site selection methodology. That takes us as a sort of an appraisal. So it appraises social, economic, environmental merits of sites individually. It allows us to make comparisons between sites. That work, as we've spoken to members in the briefing, gets us to a point. It gets us to a point where actually we know there are some sites, and I have to say it's a very limited number of sites that are very, very good sites that have absolutely no real constraints with them. We know there are some sites that don't sit with our strategic policies, so they fall by the wayside. But within that, there is then a large batch of sites that actually, it's about a choice. And I think we have to be able to explain how we've made that choice. When we publish the sustainability appraisal, we're also publishing a range of background papers as well, and they're settlement-specific background papers. And that puts the outcomes of the site selection methodology in the context of individual settlements. Some of the weight that's applied to different sites in that process of making choices is very much about site-specific, settlement-specific sustainability issues. The really good example, I think, for us that we keep referring to is that there are really specific issues around the sensitivity of the strip field systems in the northern Rydale Market towns. That has helped us enormously sort of work out which sites that we'll use right up until the last few months, really. That and the fact that, how much we need to plan for is reducing all the time. So it is about choices, and I think it's about how we explain how we've made those choices. But we've done our best to keep all the information that we can in the public realm and to brief yourselves, and I feel confident we will be able to explain how we've made these recommendations to a planning inspector and for that person to understand that. But it is within the context. Yes, there are going to be a lot of disappointed people, but we just simply don't need that amount of sites.
Councillor Mrs. Shales.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, the big area, of course, which has already been mentioned by Councillor Keel, on the Beverley Road. It has now been on the horizon for 3-4 years. And a link road, of course, is really essential. So I'm glad at last that this is going to be, an absolute integral part of the whole development. What I'm looking at page 23, where you have got all the details here of what is proposed, outline, of course, at the moment, general sort of outline, for the various facilities available, mainly, of course, concerned with the school, which is essential, something which should have been provided by the North Yorkshire County Council something like 10 or 20 perhaps years ago. But amongst the various things that are on that page, quite a number of points which are okay, there's no real mention of infrastructure. There's no mention of developments of, for retail or local services or a surgery. I mean, the surgery in Molson must be going mad, I should think, with all the extra people it's getting anyhow coming in now from all over the towns, but particularly from Norton and from Moulton. And I also I wonder whether anybody has considered the fact that the place where it is off the Beverley Road is a long way out of town. Even the present development was on Cheesecake Farm, is now known as, quite incorrectly actually, as Wellham Park. But there is still a long way out of town. And of course this will be much further up the road, out into the country, and I just wonder at what point we might get some sort of provision for the local services and the local things that are going to be required. That was all. There's just not mention of them there. Perhaps it's too early, but I think it's going to be very important, or a lot of people, you know, are going to be stranded up there, because I don't suppose there's more than one bus here. There's one bus that comes through there and goes into Norton and then on to Malton. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairman, I think just talking to the developers that have been progressing this site have done some consultation and they've done some work locally. From feedback from them, I mean, we did have a conversation with them about whether or not there should be some sort of local shop on the site. I think they felt that the feedback they've got locally was that actually people were quite happy that it wasn't too far a distance from sort of, I think it's that, is it the Harrow Road? Shop the Beverley one, Beverley Road one stop. So they had explored the issue, but it wasn't something that was coming across quite strongly in the consultation that they'd done locally. In terms of the surgery, we know that the Durden surgery need to intensify and provide some additional space. The recent discussions we've had with them is that they don't have a requirement to be located away from their existing premises, so they wouldn't want a sort of a new surgery on a new site. Effectively, it's about intensifying, expanding in whatever way they can the existing premises. Not quite sure about the bus companies or things like that. That tends to be more demand driven. So that when a scheme such as the Beverley Road site and the scale of it, you know, once that's up and running and people are there, that might itself generate, alterations to the existing bus routes and the Malton Norton circular bus facility. The key infrastructure requirement that site will address will be the land for a new primary school.
Yes, well, that of course is going to be very much needed. They're having to work on two sites now, as we know. But I just wondered that perhaps the nearer we get to the time and the consultation right throughout the towns having a look at this, there may be other people who will bring up these points as we get closer to the actual POPS application from a developer to forward the application. Thank you very much, Nihal.
Thank you. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to be careful, and I wanted to be sure that our VIUA policy is robust enough to support the newly classified sites that we've put in this document, because I'm thinking of one particular site that may be subject to a challenge, bearing in mind that there's been a pre application on that site which was refused by this council.
Well, it's the VIUA. I mean, VIUA is a long-standing policy. This document brings forward. We reviewed the existing VIUAs, and we've included a few more. It brings forward the existing VIUAs and proposes it some more. We've used the same criteria that we used effectively for the old local plan, so we've been consistent in that sense. To be honest, I'm not really sure we could do any more than that. I think it can be a difficult policy to explain. I think there is often a misconception around it. I think people see it as a landscape designation. It's not really in itself a landscape designation. It's very much about character and form. I think we've we've done our best to sort of reflect the comments that we've had back through consultation on what would make appropriate new areas. So it's one where we just take them to the examination and we'll see what happens.
Councillor Windrus.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Again, on the VIUAs, at the top of page 10, it shows that there's four being no longer shown. Is that because they're not VIUAs anymore, or is there any reason for them being taken out?
That's right. These were taken out, and when we did the consultation document in 2016, and we were just we did alert people to the fact that some of the existing VIUAs wouldn't be carried forward into the document because, of course, some of them have been developed. The Schofield, for example, is a good example. Now has a planning permission, really. So there is no point in carrying them forward into the document. I think there is only one other that we are suggesting that the designation is lifted from, and it's a very small site in Pickering, which was originally identified as a VIU because of the sort of the trees on the site. They're trees that are now subject to a TPO anyway, so it's not going to make a difference, a huge difference to that particular site. But the reasons mainly are that those sites are no longer open areas; they've got permission for development.
Can I come back, please, Chairman? I'm just more interested in the east of Beckett Close. I'm presuming that's the one that you're talking about being developed, as opposed in Norton, as opposed to the other field opposite the sports field. That's still a VIU.
Which remains a VIU.
That's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Do any planning committee members have any further questions for officers? No. Okay, we'll then move to representations of non-members of the committee. Councillor Thornton, do you wish to say anything further? Lovely. Well, we shall go into debate with members of the planning committee. Anybody want to? Councillor Burr.
I'll go. So the document that we've got in front of us, it has taken a long time, and I do think that every member has had an absolute opportunity to discuss in groups, discuss in private, discuss by email, by telephone, whatever you want with Jill. And I think probably she's been absolutely sick of us hounding. I know you've been sick of me hounding you about when is it coming, when is it coming, when is this plan coming? Because, you know, I'm sure I speak for you all. In our wards, you know, we get mithered all the time by residents wanting to know what's happening, and especially because we've got very contentious sites in Moulton. So I'm grateful that we've got it, and you have said to us that you feel it's robust. I guess we can only go by that and hope that it is going to be okay. But I'm just pleased that we've got it on the table. And what I would like to do is I would like to move that we approve it. As I say, I don't think there's anybody that can say that they haven't had an opportunity to look at this in detail or question it or represent their wards and make sure that their wards are taken care of. And I hope it'll go through full council. But, I'll move approval. I don't know if that's what you're wanting, Chairman, but I would like to move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Like Councillor Burr, this is a very long-awaited and a very welcome document to be delivered at long last. I've got to congratulate officers on all the work that they have done on it on our behalf. I think it gives us a chance to clearly direct where we want development. And for too long, we've been held to ransom because we haven't had a sites document that's allowed developers to bring forward sites that are not necessarily where we want them to be. And I, for one, am very glad that we've finally got a document that says this is where we want our development, and anywhere else, go whistle your flute somewhere else because you're not getting it. And I think it's really important. So I'm very much behind this. So I'm happy to second this document. But I do have one small amendment which I would like to put forward as well.
Councillor Mrs. Shales.
I just want to say it's a pity that the VIUA, those were not brought in earlier. They're going to make a great deal of difference, I think, in retaining some of the areas, not only in Norton but everywhere, where you've got, you know, a piece of land which perhaps introduces the town or the village where you live. And this has been sort of earmarked, and we've had to have planning in it because you couldn't stop it. But this, having these has been a very good idea. As I say, there are one or two, if we'd had these before, we might actually have stopped them on the Langton Road. That would have been really marvellous. But very important, this particular item, I think. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Goodrick, would you like to put forward your amendment, please?
Yes, I'd like to include a point, and it would be item V111 at the bottom, and it's this, that this council includes the Brownfield site, which is the upper tier of Wentworth Street car park, Moulton, as a proposed residential site in the local plan sites document for publication and submission to the inspectorate.
Thank you. Is there anybody willing to second that amendment? Councillor Cleary. Thank you. Does any further member wish to speak? No? Okay. Councillor Mrs. Burr. Would you like to... Sorry, could you put your microphone?
Yeah.
As ward member for Moulton, I think it would have been quite nice, maybe, Councillor Goodrick, if we could have had a discussion about this, because we all want to work together, absolutely. And we absolutely want affordable housing. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But what I would like you to consider as a council is just how much planning we have agreed to and how many houses have been built in Moulton over this last couple of years. Now, I'm not saying that... I mean, I had no idea that this amendment was coming tonight. I have no problem with affordables. I am probably the biggest advocate. However, I am absolutely worried, and it's okay, you may giggle over there, and that's fine, giggle away, but I think Moulton is very, very precious, and that's why I'm speaking up. The traffic in Moulton is an absolute killer, and the problems we have, the time it takes to get from Moulton to Norton, bearing in mind we've also put this site in for hopefully affordables, etc., etc. I personally feel that it is just a step too far. It's often used by the businesses. I know it's very small, is this, and I'm sure you'll say the fair can find another site. It is used for the fair. And also, if we are thinking long term about possibly using Wentworth Street for other sites, for maybe this building or whatever, we haven't decided yet as a council, I think that we're nipping that site up just a little bit too much. And I think what you've got to do is you've got to look at the whole picture, and you've got to look at everything. And I don't think that this is good to put even more in the centre of Moulton. We took our fair share in Moulton, you know, like Norton. We've coped with it, but I tell you what,
our centre is absolutely clogged up with traffic. Now, everybody is working with that and actually saying, well, we've got more houses and that's great for the young people to have more houses or whoever. So I think people are putting up with that. But when I knocked on thousands of doors when I was doing my campaigning, it was, please, please, what about no more houses? Have we not had our fair share? And I think that we have. And councillors, bear in mind, you have put this site here, this site, if we decide to move. So you have got this site in, and that would probably be affordables, etc. So I do honestly think that this is just one step too far. And I'm disappointed, really, because I would have liked to discuss this with you. I can't support it, and I am disappointed because I would have liked it to us to work something out cross-party. So I can't support it.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shales.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree. Coming into Moulton on almost any day of the week, coming through Norton and trying to get through is bad enough at the moment, especially at weekdays or on the days when we have the markets. But you can go around. I've been around. I don't do more than 2.5 turns around Marketplace to find a parking place. And I eventually go down and park in Wetmore Street car park. You've got to remember, there's a massive housing now off the Broughton Road. Lindsay knows all about this. And people coming into town are finding it more difficult to find somewhere to park. And you hear people who've come from outside who think that, you know, regard that Moulton is the food centre, you know, of the world here. And so everybody comes. And then they complain because they can't find anywhere to park, literally around the market square. And so eventually they go out. And the last time I actually was so fed up with the square that I went out to Wetmore Street car park, the park was full of cars. It is still going to be needed for parking. And I think you've got to remember this. I hope we're not, for heaven's sake, going to go over something that years ago was wrangled over by one group and another. But the point is, it's going to need parking. And so, therefore, I'm certainly not going to support anything at this stage. And it is rather sudden for this to have come up at this particular point. Perhaps it could have come up at one of our planning meetings earlier so that we had more time to think about it. But I certainly won't support it because it's going to get worse for parking, not better. And therefore, putting in more housing in that area, brownfield site or no, I think is absolutely wrong at this stage.
Thank you. Councillor John Andrews.
It's a question if I could possibly ask Councillor Goodrick, because my ears usually prick up at affordable, and I didn't hear the word affordable in your... does brownfield site mean all affordable housing? Because obviously I haven't been on this committee that long.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. It might have been helpful if I could have spoken on it before we'd gone into debate, so forgive me, but... We've suggested this because the upper tier of Wentworth Street car park is quite an underutilised asset for this council. And I appreciate that the fair use it once a year, but actually I think it's an important brownfield site that we could utilise for the benefit of the community. And when I say that, and this is my personal view because it's not been discussed properly at group, and we only discussed this on Monday evening, so there was very little time to discuss it with anybody else's. But I would quite like that area to be a provision for extra care facilities. The doctor's surgery is very nearby in Princess Road. I would like to see some more affordable housing for our young people, with too many young people having to go out of district to buy housing because they can't afford what we've got here. So for me, and when we're talking about affordables, they generally can't afford to run expensive cars. So for me, it seems to be a logical step to include this in the programme. No one said we're going to build it and it has to meet all the planning regulations that we've got. So that would be my personal view, but I just think it's an opportunity to put it in so that we have that process that we can consider it later on.
Councillor Cleary, did you want to speak on the amendment?
Not at this stage, Madam Chairman, thank you.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. At the recent Stables, or what it was, racing event, yeah, the open day, yeah, as a lion, I was one of those who was looking after Winter Street car park. It was absolutely chocker full. And so, but there was nothing on the upper ground, because I never had time to go and cross and see that, because I was near the where they got the steps. But it appeared as though there were a couple of barriers across stopping people going up there. And so I just thought, well, that's a great shame, is that? But if we're going to lose more of that car parking area with council buildings, we're getting desperately short of parking spaces. And Malton is chock-a-block with traffic. The big problem is there's no access onto the bypass as you're coming from a Mothersby in that way. And everything coming in that way has got to come down to, comes down to the lights at the bottom, and big heavy wagons and everything else. It would be so much better if there was a slip road at that point there for people to get round onto the bypass. But I wouldn't like to see this upper level develop, because we're likely to lose even more of that car park with extending the council facilities there. Thank you. So I can't support this amendment either.
Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you. This is a question to the officers. At this stage, when we're looking at this, presumably if this were to go forward, we couldn't specifically say what it was for. It would just be for planning, so we could end up with anything on there, luxury house or anything. It wouldn't necessarily be for what Councillor Goodrick has mentioned this evening. Am I correct?
Well, most of the residential sites that we've included in the plan, we've just said residential, they will be, as we would normally expect, sites that come forward are built with a proportion of affordable housing through the normal route. You can use the plan to effectively say what the type of development you want. So you could make it more specific if you wanted to.
Sorry, just to go. I know we had a brownfield site in Pickering that was solely affordable. So we could do something like that if it was to be looked at. Or do we have to make a decision?
I think that's it's a decision for council to make about how prescriptive they want that it to be. I would just say that, you know, you can, with the best will in the world, it may be that the economics of developing a site might just mean you get a better mix of houses if you have a combination of affordable and market housing. It can sometimes make just for better development sites. So perhaps you just want to give yourselves the flexibility. Perhaps it's a residential scheme that's primarily affordable housing led or something like that. It's for members to decide, really.
Obviously, looking at the plan at the moment, we're at 3,902 dwellings if everything goes to plan, so this would take us even further. Do we have obviously there's no numbers as such. I mean, I think went to the fair many many years ago, and I can't remember how big that site is, but is it 40, 200?
I think the site is about it's just under half a hectare. So I think if it was, I think, you know, the minimum you would be looking at on a site like that would be low 20s. You would expect it perhaps to be built at a higher density. So I don't know, to 40 perhaps.
Well, if it was a flatted scheme or an extra care scheme with units in it, yeah, you might even have a higher density than that. It depends on the format of it, but it feels as though in what is a relatively close to town centre location that it would be on the higher end of our normal densities. Our normal densities over the years are probably on a net area around about the 30 to the hectare. Probably be a bit higher than that, I would have thought. So if you're looking at half a hectare, I think was the Jill just said, then you're not looking at a huge additional amount in terms of raw numbers if it was housing. But if it was apartments, say three-storey high, as sometimes apartments are, at Pickering, I think there are around about, off the top of my head, 90 apartments on the Mickle Hill site. You know, if you looked at it in that context, I'm not quite sure whether that size of building would fit on the upper tier, because there are access issues, there's a setting of a listed mausoleum, you know, so there are other issues that the site would need to take into account, but you can appreciate that an apartmented scheme would be a higher number of units, which just as raw numbers might be nearer to 40 or 50, say, than 20. So it's that sort of range.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, the upper tier, let's be clear, most of the time this is not used. Where people are worried about losing car parking space, it's not used currently as car parking space for the vast majority of the year. Granted, it is used as for the fair, and I believe on busy periods the cattle market users can make use of it. But that's going to go. I think we are moving to a situation where people in living in towns will reduce their car occupancy, car use. It is happening. You might laugh, you might giggle. Well, I think you were actually. It's maybe just the distance that we are sitting tonight. But there are people, and we'll see on Thursday night where we're talking about the cycle route. There are more and more people making use of cycling, making use of walking when they've chosen to live in a town centre site. You know, I have friends who had multiple cars. They're now living without a car if they're living in Malton. It was our feeling that this is a good use of council-owned site. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Goodrick, would you like to say anything further?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. If you go to page 22 of the document, which the officers have done so well, it does say that North Yorkshire County Councillor are eager to secure appropriate provision. And we don't have anything in Malton. And forgive me, but, you know, the care of our elderly residents is of a primary concern to me. And if we can deliver it at this site, it would be a win-win for everybody.
Right, thank you. I will now put that amendment to the vote, please.
Absolute hell.
Why didn't we just... Thank you. That amendment has been lost. Does any member wish to say anything further, or I'm going to go straight to the vote on the recommendation? Okay, so I'm going to go for a vote on the recommendation, little 1 to little 7, please. Thank you. That recommendation is unanimous. Therefore, that concludes the business for this evening. Thank you very much for coming to another meeting. I know with us having another meeting tomorrow night, it's very much appreciated that you're able to put this forward. And I'll now close the meeting and wish you all a safe journey home.